Welcome to Cooper Talk. I'm your host, Steve Cooper. And remember, I'm only as hip as my guests. And I have a great guest today, a very funny lady. I got the privilege of meeting her. We have a lot of mutual friends. And I met her a while ago down at the Flappers. But then we started talking. We were both in this Burbank Film Festival. And now her thing was very good. Mine was like an old thing. You can find it on YouTube. It's Steve Cooper, not so funny guy. It's like 9 years. It's like, it looks like it's on beta or Laserdisc. And I had the Jufro, and it's crazy. And that didn't do well. But I saw Jackie's piece. And Jackie Cashin, how you doing?
I'm good.
It's animated of your
right.
Own. Now, who did the animation?
A guy named Greg Franklin did it out of Six Point Express. And it was an ad for my new album. And I was like, will you animate one of the tracks? And it's a 3-minute bit about animals.
And it's awesome. I mean, but the quality, it's like you see mine. Oh. And the thing is,
yours animated?
No.
No, it was live.
But just my quality. Mine was awful.
Oh.
But I mean, your quality was great. No, what's good is, though, and you go to some of these comedy film festivals, and did you take second?
I was out of town for the very final, but I thought we took first or second.
Yeah, because I know also it was you, and I know you and Troy Conrad's pieces were around each other.
Yeah.
But it's good to see comics win, because there's like some of these people, like you see the pieces, and they, you know, they're like these film students have all this money to put in, and it's got the slick DVD, and you watch it, and it's sort of, there's not a lot of substance, but yours was hard hitting,
right? Well, because the bit itself, allow me to say, is very funny, and then the animation was amazing. Greg Franklin, you know, he made the joke funnier. You know?
It was I mean, the animation was amazing. It's like you said,
it was a full crew, 6 months, 4 months of six guys doing fully animated piece. It's called L.A. Pet Owners on YouTube. It's on JackieCation.com.
Okay. So how was the process? Did you? You had your track because it was on the album.
Yeah.
And so they just sit there and they draw you? Or, I mean, how does that work?
Well, here's what happened was Kyle Kinane had an animated piece by the same guy, and I saw it.
Okay.
It's about bunnies. It's about bunnies and they're having some sex and Greg Franklin animated it, and he put in such little details that I was like, that guy's funny by himself.
Right.
I would love that guy. And so I called Kyle, and Kyle said that the label had split the cost of the animation with him. So I called my label and I said, they're doing it. Would you want to do it? And my label was like, yes, of course we would.
Now, who's your label?
Stand Up Records,
okay.
Out of Minneapolis, and Dan Schlissel. And so I go to Greg, and I was like, you know, will you do this? And this is the track I'm looking at. And the whole album had done very well. It was top 10 on Amazon last year.
It was on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon's top 10 comedy album.
So you're making some cha-ching. See that, people? There's
yes,
money.
I believe I just got a check for $300. Hold your applause.
Miguel.
And it's fine. I mean, people like it, though, which, I, you know, is the important part. You know, though the money's the important part as well.
But we have to eat.
Right. There's some bills and such. But the crazy thing is, I talked to Greg at the animator, and he goes, here's what I'll do. I will animate that. That'll be fine. You'll pay me. It'll all work out. But here's what you need to know is that I will storyboard it first.
Okay.
And after I storyboard it, you don't have any more input.
Okay, so basically you're giving your bit up, and he's going, you know, here's where we storyboard it, and then...
Yeah, if you have any notes, it has to go in the storyboard part of the level, which was 2 months into it, or a month into it. And he drew a caricature of me, which is me telling the joke, interspersed with the story of the joke, right? And he sent me the first caricature, and I said, I have body issues. If you could fix that, I want to be better looking. And he was like, I'm going to need more information. That's not enough information. please pick a video of you online that you like what you look like.
Okay.
And I will caricature that.
Okay.
And that was perfect. And so the caricature is, I mean, I think he captures what I sort of look like on stage, and it's fine. And then he animated the thing.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's you sit there and you go, wow. I mean, it's like something you sit there and go, holy crap.
That's
a
TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, it was TV show quality.
Oh, totally.
Of animation, yeah.
And that's good. And it did well, which was good, because, you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard to sit there. It's hard because we were both on the same night, and you know, and you're watching, and you get...
I loved you going, remember when the guy introducing the movies, you went up in between, he gets up, he's like, so do you guys have any questions about this short film? And there's 10 short films, and they're anywhere between 3 to 15 minutes. And you go, not a chance. Are we doing this in between every film? And so you pad off to the, and so the guy goes, I guess I didn't realize how much longer that would make the show.
Well, I knew the guy, because the Burbank Film Festival, whatever, their office.
All I could think was, thank God.
Is on this floor.
Oh, okay.
And so, I was a guest on their show the week before that, because they do a show, and I was like, I went on, I said exactly, I said, dude, you know what, guess what? This guy, and it's like, it's say one thing, but you're going to do 10 minutes? It's like, really, I want to thank this person. Guess what? Shut up. Get the show rolling. Because people lose their attention, and it's a bringer on the most part. There's like people sitting there like, hey, you know, and they're clapping, and it's like,
yep.
And I'm like, oh, I don't have a chance, because I got in the last minute. Mine didn't DVD even work at first. I didn't even have a burn, and then it worked.
Oh, right, the burn thing, because at Flappers, they were doing it in the main room, and for some reason the DVD, because I had no idea whether or not it would play. I just burned it on Nero or whatever program I happened to have on my computer.
See, I had Duke Kerbalani burned it off me on, it was downloaded off me on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have any copies. It was years ago. And when we shot it, I mean, I shot that years ago. And it was a character I had. And my friend Trevor Hoff, amazing director. We basically shot it at E! Entertainment. And he said, here's the deal. I want to do this goofy character, Steve Cooper, not so funny guy. And this thing, like we used to have the animators, it was like this with Trevor also edited it. So he just shot me for, you know, I lived the whole thing. He shot me for whatever.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, this is going to suck. But then when I saw how he edited it, I was like, dude, you are brilliant. I said, because I said, this only reason.
He created a story out of that.
It was good, not because of me, but because of him.
You had to give him some content, but we'll go there. But I mean, the crazy thing about the editing that I totally never realized until I watched any reality television at all is that it's the editors who are creating that content. I mean, you can, when I did Last Comic Standing, I was like, this could not be more boring. Why would anyone want to watch this? And then, sadly, they didn't show some things that were fantastic. Who doesn't want to see comics just surreptitiously drinking?
Right.
Because you're like, this blows. I'm going to have a giant adult beverage.
What season were you on?
5 and 7.
Okay, now, how far did you go?
Semifinals both times. I didn't make the house either time, but I made it to the Vegas round both times.
Okay, who won 5 and who won 7?
I think
Bowden?
5 was, no, I think 5 was the one with Doug Benson, and I forget who won that year.
Okay,
it was Doug Benson. It was the one on the boat.
I didn't really watch it.
Then the last one was the one with Eliza Schlesinger.
Okay.
And she won.
Okay.
And deserved every minute of it because they ran her through the ringer, man, because she was she's a newish comic, right? And so they're like, oh, she's going to choke. Everybody challenge her. And she rose to the occasion, and she had to write new material for every challenge.
And that's good. That's cool. That's good. Because that's like Felicia Michaels on it. She said no one. She was in the finals of Star Search. She said she didn't think she was going to win because the other girl had a much better set. She was like, and then she said she won. She was like, wow.
Well, Eliza had good sets, and it was, but the she was genuinely vilified on that thing, I do believe. And she worked harder than anybody, and they made her work harder. So I think she completely and entirely deserved to win.
Well, it's good. You like that.
I mean, who was the only real, there was like one real comic?
That wasn't Todd Glass.
And it wasn't, when I say real comic, I sound like a jackass, but what I mean is...
It's like the year when Rich Voss was on, you know, like a person who's been around...
Like 17 years on the road, but does cruise ships.
Ralph Harris?
No, he's black, and I can't remember.
Oh, no,
name.
Tori? No.
Nope.
Oh.
And...
But thinking, okay, black acts that do cruise ships.
I'm gonna remember it when we get off, and it'll be fine.
It's like, So now you're from the Midwest, right?
I'm from Wisconsin, but I'm a Minneapolis comic.
See, now I heard, well, isn't Cesario, wasn't he a Minneapolis comic?
He is a Minneapolis comic, but he's also from the Milwaukee area.
He's from Sheboygan.
He's from Sheboygan Bratfest. My high school marching band marched in the Sheboygan Bratfest every year.
Now, what town are you from?
I'm from a little factory town called, stupidly, South Milwaukee. It's the city of South Milwaukee.
Is it? So you're, okay.
So it's in between Milwaukee and Racine.
Do you ever play out there now?
No, I'm Christ-like in Wisconsin. My miracles do not work in my own hometown. I'll tell you what, I just got booked. I went to college in Madison, University of Wisconsin.
I heard that. I heard Madison's like the new hip town. It's like the Austin of the cold. That's what I heard.
Oh, and it always has been. But like right now, university-wise, there's no way that I could get into that college. It's an amazing college.
Well, you know what's funny? How colleges are different. I was talking to a girl the other night on the phone that I went to college with, and her niece is looking to the college. I went to a small college, a state college in New Jersey called Richard Stockton.
Right.
And she was saying, you know, I mean, back when I went, it was like $3,250 a credit. Okay.
Yeah.
And so the whole year, and I think she said now it's like $22,000 a year, and it's actually a really good school. So now when we go, hey, we went to Richard Stockton, because back when we went, it was Stockton State. I was like, hey, we went to Richard Stockton. They go, wow, that's a pretty good school.
Right, because your credibility is only as good as the school is right now. Like people who say, I go to Penn State, I went to Penn State.
Right.
Credibility down.
Exactly,
down. But I was booked to do, that's where I started doing stand-up comedy, in Madison, Wisconsin, when I went to college there.
Now, at clubs or coffee houses?
There was a club owned by Bill Kinison, Sam Kinison's brother.
Okay.
And it tanked in the first year. But, you know, I went up 7 nights a week for 8 months, so it was an amazing experience. But, so I haven't really, there's a Yoda room there that I did probably 10 years ago. And now, I've been trying to get back in ever since.
Yeah, but...
You know, they have to pay me fair is my whole thing.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to need you guys to just pay me fair. And so this, I got booked them to pay me fair. And they just canceled it because the owners of the club came to Los Angeles, saw me do an 11-minute set at a French restaurant. And they said, oh, I don't think she has enough time.
Really? Isn't that bull? Watch the comedy, because you did the Comedy Central Presents.
Right, I have a half-hour special.
What's that?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, no, because they put people for 11 minutes. It's just Jackie for 11 minutes and another act.
In
it's
Los
like,
Angeles.
I know.
And where you have to do new material all the time.
So you got canceled.
I got canceled. And it's sad for me. I mean, usually I'm like, well, you're lost, whatever.
Right.
But since I went to college there, I'm like... Boo!
Yeah.
Boo! No!
Yeah, that
I really
sucks.
Want to
that's,
go.
That's not. Hey,
so
if you people
out.
Are listening, put Jackie. She has the time. Jackie Kishon has
out
the time.
I have the time. I'm the golden retriever.
She's headlining Flappers in a few weeks, aren't you?
I'm headlining everywhere.
Yeah. So you can't play your
Cincinnati.
Hometown. What's
that? Yeah, the Improv in Cincinnati. I'll be there next year, like in January.
So add that.
I'm co-headlining the Punchline in San Francisco. Whatever. It sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud, but I mean, yeah. There's,
no, but it's definitely. You don't have enough time. But okay. Every other because they booked Jackie to do 11 minutes. No, they had headliner because he's a damn headliner.
Right, and they did the same thing to Sean Cullen. I mean, that's the only justification, you know, where I'm just like, well, it's not just me. Like, Sean Cullen's an amazing comic.
Right.
He has hours of material as well. They saw him do a set in L.A. and they're like, oh, that guy's not really going to work out. I don't think that guy's material is going to... Because he did 11 minutes of nothing.
Why do all these owners come to L.A.? I don't. Why do they...
Because they want to meet Charlie Sheen and possibly do blow off the crack ass of Kardashian. Who knows why they come? But I mean...
But then they actually...
They accidentally see stand-up comedy.
But no, I would think if I owned the club, okay, and I left my town, I went on vacation, the last place I want to do is go to another damn comedy show because you see comedy... And you know how it is
when
we're comics.
Well, they want to write it off, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But you know how it is when we're comics. You can't sit there like... We're like, go watch the whole show. You don't want to watch the show. It's nothing against the other comics.
I just did an amazing... You know, my home club is Minneapolis, Minnesota Acme Comedy Company.
Okay.
And this was their 20th anniversary. This is their 20th year, right? And so they hired 20 headliners to come do 20 minutes over 4 days.
Okay.
And so people that I haven't seen... Some of those comics, I haven't seen them in 12 years.
Who were some of the acts?
Like Kermit Apio and David Crow and Bent Washburn and... Which are just, they're amazing road comics that not enough people have heard of, right? And then there's guys like Ryan Stout and Doug Benson and like LA guys that I see all the time, David Huntsberger. And then there was Tracy Ashley and myself and Mary Mack. And then that's nine. And then there's...
So
there's like a million comics. And we all did 20-minute sets. And those shows, like Pete Lee and Tim Harmston, I couldn't leave the room.
Right.
Because to see everybody do 20 minutes in front of a real crowd and destroy is a treat for me, stand-up-wise.
Well, and it's funny, because when you don't see comics for a long time, I mean, you know, you said some people you've been seeing for 12 years, it's like when I started doing the show, you know, I hadn't seen Chris Mancini or Paul Tompkins or Blaine or John Matta. I haven't seen these guys since, like, Paul left Philly in 90 or 91. I haven't seen these guys.
Wow, 20 years.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in 20 years. And I always laugh about Paul because I'm like, God, Paul, you look so much better now. I mean, you got older. Paul looks great.
Something about L.A., too, that will definitely make you find your inner good-looking person.
Yeah, but
it's on the wind. Have the salad.
I mean, you know what's weird is when you see the people, it's like time never passed.
Right.
You know, that's what's cool, especially with comics.
Yeah.
It's that certain thing.
Yeah,
like,
which is why on my podcast, I interviewed like 11 comics. Chad Daniels and David Huntsberger and Pete Lee and Tim Slagle and John DeBoer. Like all these guys that work. And Acme is a hard club to get into.
Well, there's two in Minneapolis, right? Isn't there the one in the mall in Minneapolis?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. But the mall club is a mall club.
Okay.
It's unfortunate. It just has a vaulted ceiling, and people have been shopping all day long. And
right. I've heard that.
And it's a perfectly fine club, but it's going to be, they have to fill the room, and so they have to book, like, bigger names, you know? And Lewis brings in big names, and his club seats 275. But it's not... He doesn't have to bring in a big name to fill because he's been building that club slow and steady for 20 years. He has an open mic on Mondays that is sold out.
See, it's amazing because, you know, a lot of the clubs, like when I started out in Philly, all those clubs are gone now. It's amazing that this club stayed for 20 years and it's not in L.A. or New York. But even like in New York, I think Ketch closed in New York.
Yep.
It's like, wait, Ketch arises. I mean, it's just amazing. This guy has the lasting time of 20 years.
There's
it's just
a great
so
club
much.
In Philly now that's been open like 6 years.
Helium?
Following the model of Acme in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Like Lewis, those guys, they were like, they're businessmen. They wanted to open a comedy club, but they're like, we want to do, and Lewis is one of the best businessmen in the he's also the sanest comedy club owner that I've ever met in my life, because you know how insane they are.
Oh, yeah.
And Lewis is a funny guy. He likes practical jokes. He's a goof, and he likes to light you up a little bit, like all comedy club owners do, you know. But he isn't a jerk,
right?
Which you're like, thank you God.
Yeah.
And one of his policies is that he will not book a jerk. He's like, I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how funny you are. If you are a jerk to my staff, if you are a jerk to the other comics, you don't have to come back.
See, that's good. That's cool. You got to give kudos to that.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy, I mean, he's got a sanity about him. So he helped, like, the Helium Club in Philadelphia and in Portland.
Okay.
I talked to him about the business of it. If you own a comedy club, or I'm sure it's a restaurant thing too, the first 3 years, you're not going to make any money.
Right.
You are going to lose $100,000 a year,
right,
if not more. And you have to go in with the business model knowing that that's how it's going to be. And you have to continue to book quality acts and make sure the food's okay and everybody is still living. Yeah, you still have to create. And then, so after 2 years, Helium started making money and they were wowed. And so now they're 5-6 years in, I think. And they're a viable comedy club.
Yeah, and I heard it's a great club. It's amazing because there used to be the city of Philadelphia used to support 4 comedy clubs downtown.
Yeah.
And they just
was all, that in like 90?
Yeah, 90. Like Comedy Factory out, like Comedy Works going bananas, and then the Funny Bone came in.
Right.
And then now it's just like, it just sucked up. Have you played Helium?
I have just once, about 6 or 7 years ago. When it first opened, Lewis got me in, and then... And I met the guy again, and I've done Portland a couple of times. That's only been open for about a year and a half, and 2 years maybe. And so, you know, I just met him again. And he was like, "Yeah, I got to get you in." And but there's so many comics. I totally get that.
And there's the Philly comics. You know, there's stuff like that. So it's weird.
Like right now with major A clubs in the country, it's mostly a year and a half rotation. Like, it's usually you headline once a year. That's how it used to be. Now it's a year and a half rotation because there's so many great comics. And there's so many comics with sort of better... They can fill the room a little bit better than I can. And that's obvious. I mean, that is a necessary... business
model. You have to draw. You know, I mean, it's a thing. So, well, because what's up with your podcast?
The Dork Forest.
Dork Forest. Now, what's that up? Because
you can do dork, like nerd, geek, Dork Forest. So it's dork on dork dialogue. People talk about what they love. Had Proops on, talked about old timey baseball. Guess what? I don't care about baseball.
Right.
But but he made it fascinating because A, he's Greg Proops, and B, he talked about baseball from the Civil War to 1930.
That's so cool. That's like you know Tyshawn Shannon?
Yeah, I've met him. I don't know him well.
His sister. I mean, he's like...
What's his buzz? What's his dorkdom?
He is...
It's a baseball thing?
You know, he's like a huge baseball card collector. He actually has a thing on YouTube called... baseball card theater, and he got all these cards of this guy named Cliff Johnson.
Yeah.
And Cliff Johnson for like played for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And like in the first 19 years, he never smiled. So this whole thing he does, and he goes, look at such and such.
Does he animate the cards essentially?
No, he just puts them up.
He holds them up and talks behind
him. Yeah, he'll do it. And he goes, such and such smiles, but Cliff Johnson don't. And so then he goes, and if I goes, and then he goes, they show, he's like, yeah, he smiled. And then he does an impression. He goes, yo, I was just messing with you guys. But it's just, he's like this huge, like Houston Astros fan. And I met him years ago. And when we came on the show here, we were just talking about baseball, because I'm a big baseball fan. And I don't know if I have a dork thing. I don't know.
Well, sports dorkdoms are hard for me. Like the current episode out. It's a good episode. You should listen to it. Tim Harmston, very funny guy, but he loves the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Well, I don't know anything about football. I know more about the Green Bay Packers than any other team, only because I'm from Wisconsin.
Right, right.
And it's in the water.
Yeah, it's in your
blood.
So,
I mean, there's not a lot I can do to not know about who Bart Starr is.
Right.
And but the weird thing is like, but I had like a guy, this guy Eric Drysdale, who's a writer for Colbert.
Okay.
He came on, he talked about Viewmasters, ka-chunk, ka-chunk Viewmasters.
Wow.
He loves old-timey photography. I had Aisha Tyler talking about video games and like hardcore video games, like let's Portal 2, Skyrim this thing out, you know?
So like the new, not like the old school, like not
Yeah,
like-
not, and then I've had old school video game dudes, and I have a lot of science fiction, you know, it's a lot of reading dorks. David Huntsberger's on an upcoming episode. He talks about classical literature.
That's cool, though.
Bet Washburn's talking about fine art. Those ones I call those are the smart dorkdoms. Like
I guess my dorking is I'm like the king of old TV references. I'm such a dork when it comes to, I'm like, people know. I mean, I know who the cast. I can name the cast of That's My Mama. People are like, what? I can name the whole cast.
I don't
cast
even remember
of,
That's My Mama.
That, I can name the whole
Who's
cast.
Who's in That's My Mama?
Clifton Davis, Ted Lang, Teresa Merritt, and some other guy who looked like Geese Osborne from the Globetrotters.
Oh, he looks like Geese Osborne.
And then I could name the whole cast of Barney Miller, and people were like, dude, how do you know that? And I'm like,
Barney Miller was so good.
Wasn't it a great show? And you can't find it on like on TV Land or anything. And it was, I mean, maybe once in a while.
Yeah.
But it was great.
They showed it for like a year and a half or 2 years, and then they were like, oh, people are done with it. And you're like, not done
it,
with it.
It was really well written.
Turns out I'll watch Barney Miller almost any time of the day or night, just because it was, who doesn't love Captain Sulu? No, what was his name?
Jack Sue. Yamahata.
Yamahata.
Detective Yamahata.
Yeah, exactly.
And Wojohowitz was Max Gale. Well, of course, Hal Linden was Barney Miller.
Yep.
And who else was on that? Oh,
Ron Glass.
Was
who later was on Firefly.
Really? Well, he also, Ron Glass also came in later and did an African American an African American version of The Odd Couple with him.
Yes.
And Damon Wilson, who was on Sanford and Son, and that was on BET.
Right. I do remember
now,
that.
It's like you go.
I'll tell you about Ron Glass is that he was on Firefly, which is a Joss Whedon short-lived space western.
Okay.
It's essentially of Han Solo.
What years is this? What year?
2006.
Okay, so it's new.
Yeah,
okay.
So relatively new. And only 14 episodes. If anybody, everybody out there is going, yeah, Firefly. Anyway, and then there was a movie called Serenity. And Nate Fillion was on it. He played the captain. He's on Castle.
Okay.
And but Ron Glass, now he can go to science fiction conventions. And he said, if I would have had this 10 years ago, I would have this. I want to be on a show like this every 5 years.
Yeah, because they make a ton of money at this.
Yeah,
and they fly out.
Because I had a guest signings.
I had a guest on the show. His name's Spike Spencer. And he did a bunch of voices for that video game World of Warcraft or whatever. And he goes, they fly him, and he does anime voices. He goes on.
One of my best friends does the voice of Naruto, Miley Flanagan.
Really?
Minneapolis actress.
I'm a sci-fi dork. I don't know any of this stuff.
You don't know anime so much?
No.
But, what else? Yep. No, that's all I got.
How'd you come up with the idea for the podcast?
Podcast, it's based on a very old joke I did. It's on my Comedy Central Presents, but I've been doing it it's a little over 6 years.
Okay.
I've been doing the podcast.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
So you've been around.
Ground floor of podcasting. I talk about the Dork Forest and about how I had to stop hanging out with war reenactment guys.
Well, it's a great name, though.
Yeah.
Dork Forest is just so catchy. You think you're going to go, wait, and then you go, dork, because that's when I checked out on your website, and I'm like, that's such a good name.
Yeah, my nephew drew this amazing kind of logo, which is dorky things coming out of the forest.
Okay.
And it could be anything, like Revolutionary War reenactment guys doing binary, Zelda the Triforce, Star Wars, Star Trek, the One Ring. He put in the design, Snake. Remember that cell phone game, Snake?
No.
Oh, it's one of the. It, all you needed was like.
See, I'm a dork when it comes to dorkhood. I don't know. It's, I'm bummed now. I want to be a dork.
You can be a dork, and because everybody has a dorkdom.
Oh, we do. I do. I did that, and I used to play electronic football. Remember that game?
Coleco.
Well, before Coleco, it was Mattel.
Oh.
And Coleco could pass. Mattel couldn't.
Was it the one where the guys would shake?
No, that was electric football. Okay. But I actually listen to it. I had my parents give me. This is my dorkhood. I had a Monday night football version of electric football where there was lights. Like you're playing in your basement. You're not going to play in the dark.
Right.
But there was lights.
They had the tall light poles.
Had like a thing and you put batteries in and the light would shine down and they'd run. But Mattel electronic football was like Coleco, but Coleco you could pass. So this just had a few things. And my mom would sit there and she would say, oh my God. She goes, I hear. That's what I hear. That's all I hear. And me and my friends would play it. And we could score like every time. So it sort of got boring. You're like, okay, who can score faster?
Well, because the pattern was, I believe it was forward, forward, right, right, forward, right, forward. And because I had that Coleco football game and I love it. I loved it.
It was great. I wish I still had it. I found someone gave me a while ago. I found a Nintendo
game.
Have
you ever heard of Ernie Klein?
Ernie Klein.
Ernest Klein. He's a spoken word guy. He used to do stand-up out of Austin, Texas.
Okay.
From Columbus, Ohio. And he wrote a movie called Fanboys. Directed a movie called Fanboys. And it came out a couple years ago. Yeah, it was indie cred, right? A lot of indie cred.
Okay.
And he just wrote a book called Ready Player One, got optioned before it was out. It's essentially a Hunger Games for the dorks of the world.
Really?
For adult nerds, because it's all about upright video games and war from 1980.
See, that's so cool. I love that 80s stuff, because you know what's funny? I was talking to a friend of mine from college, and all that 80s stuff is coming back. Like, she said how her nieces love all the John Hughes movies. And, I remember when they came out, watching that stuff. It's like,
I mean, people glamorize 1985, but you're like, you wouldn't want to go back to 1985. 1985 kind of blew.
Why?
Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a junior in college. I was worried about drinking and picking up women.
Me too. I think I was a junior as well. But, I mean, it was a brutal time, like, financially.
Right.
The economy sucked. And the hair was ridiculous. But, I mean, fashion-wise, you could always just go back and laugh. But
I know. Isn't that true?
But like, nobody wants to go back to, like... 19. I mean, if you're go back to 1995, go back to 1970 before the 70 might be brutal. I think 70 was the beginning of the recession.
I think so.
So you might want to go 67.
And in 70, I was like wearing like tough skins and plain pocket cords from JCPenney. So it was a very bad sign.
I was being raised by wolves in 1970. I think I have four older brothers.
I was a gopher. So what is your number one for you? Your number one.
Dorkdom.
Correct term is dorkdom?
That is the term that I've... If you are a ranger of the dork forest, you get a +1 to your initiative roll out there, rangers. Tell your game master. Anyway, if you buy the t-shirt, the ranger t-shirt. But I think it has to be science fiction. It has to be... Like, I read a lot of science fiction,
okay.
And I read... And I every year I read The Lord of the Rings. every year, I'm more of a sci-fi video game dork than anything else.
Like, did you play Galaga a lot when you were a kid?
Oh, I was good at Galaga. You know that trick with Galaga, where you wait 5 minutes and you don't fire. If you wait 5 minutes and just dodge for 5 whole minutes, none of the Galaga guys will fire for the entire game, and then you can rack up like millions of points. But the problem is it's boring. And do it once, and you're like, "Oh, that's awesome."
Do you ever play Phoenix, where the birds would go, "Rah!" and you'd shoot them? And
oh, you're talking not Defender, but
no, there's a game called Phoenix.
It wasn't Phoenix. It was Joust.
No, Phoenix was these birds would drop. They'd be a ball, and you'd hit the ball. The birds would go, "Rah!" and you'd shoot their arms off, and you go through the level and level, and finally you got to the big, castle with the Phoenix in the middle, and the birds would be dropping.
I used to love that game. That's a great game.
That's an underrated game.
People talk
about it. Much more interesting than Space Invaders.
Do you know what I enjoyed? Zaxxon. That is an underrated game, because the perspective, you had to fly through this. It was like a turret. You flew through like a castle.
Okay.
And the perspective was kind of messed up. So you'd half the time you'd crash, and until you were like, no, it's one more click to the left, and with the joystick. But I'll tell you something about my video game playing in 1983 when I went to college, which was the first year I had any money because I got student loans, and I spent $70 a week
on
video games for the first month I was there.
And back then they were cheap; they're like a quarter. It wasn't like now; they're like a buck.
Yeah.
So either you play too much. much or you weren't that good?
Both. And but by the end, I eventually stopped because I met a guy who had to drop out of school because he spent all of his student loan money.
Really?
And I was like, word to the wise. Noted, noted, and done.
Now, you went to an arcade. Was it an arcade?
Yeah, it was completely. It was called Spaceport, and it was on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin.
See, it's funny. My college had video games, but my college was very self-contained. It was, it was in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey.
Yep.
So the campus... All the school where you took your classes were all connected.
Yep.
And there was apartments across the lake, and then there was dorms. And you drove down.
How many people at your school? Was it relatively small?
5,000.
Okay.
But maybe
50,000. Mine was 42,000.
Yeah, yours too. And see, for mine, only like half lived on campus.
Okay.
But you would drive. So the only time you leave campus is like Thursday nights, you go out and drink, you know, or get your beer because they couldn't. But even back then, the campus on. Drinking age was 19.
Right.
But then it turned 21, but I turned 19 before the date. So I got grandfathered. Yeah, and I was like, and I remember one time I got so pissed off because we're going down to the Jersey Shore and like going to get beer, and the guy's like, yep. You're not 21. I go, yeah, I got grandfathered. I don't care. It's my place. I'm like, dude, I got grandfathered. And he wouldn't serve me.
Nope.
And then my buddy went to get him. And he goes, nope, because you're that guy. He's underage. And we're like,
Jersey,
my buddy's
sure.
like, he's not the show.
Yeah.
Not the show. Because the show. See, that's what I hate about growing up in New Jersey. And it's sure they get the stereotype in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, cheesy. And da, da.
Well, 70 show.
Yeah,
happy
New
days.
Jersey, it's that people think, oh, yeah, we're a bunch of Guidos.
My favorite place to play in New Jersey, doing it again in January. Princeton, but not Princeton. It's even the townies in Princeton are smart,
right?
Because it just bleeds over. It's like, well, what's
this? Princeton the catch or stress factory?
It's
no.
catch.
Okay,
at the Hyatt outside of town.
I remember that.
It's still there. It's still there's three shows on the weekend, and it pays for my airfare and for a week, a couple of weeks of bus pass in New York.
There you go.
And so I stay in New York for a couple of weeks after, and it's great, but I played Atlantic City a couple of times, and both times, reduced to tears. Jackie Cation does not cry very easily. Let that just
was
be
that
said.
Bad?
So bad.
Borgata or Comedy Stop?
The Comedy Stop was the second time. I wanted to choke the audience members. And my friend Karen Rontowski, have you had her on the show?
No, but I knew her years ago. I met
She's
her
awesome. Okay. And she plays it, and she finally told me, she said, Jackie, when you play Atlantic City, you get 20 minutes. That's all you're doing is 20 minutes,
yeah.
right? So you do 40 minutes of material in 20 minutes.
Right.
And you open up with, you swear for the first 40 seconds. You curse your fool head off and get their attention because they're idiots.
See, that's funny that you curse. No, because I did it years ago when they actually, at Trump's Castle, they had a Coconuts. I don't know if you remember Coconuts.
Right.
They're out of Florida. And I went down there, and I don't know if I featured it, but it's all, it was like a 12-minute set.
Yeah.
But you had to sign a contract.
Yeah.
You had to sign a contract. You could not say the F word, and you could not mention Donald Trump, else you'd be fired on the spot. You had to sign a contract.
I love that kind of stuff because of the moral high ground of the Trump castle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like those Indian casinos where, like, you can't make fun of the Indians. I'm like, really? You're squeezing nickels out of old people. I can't make fun of Indians. I'm going to kill you. And
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jackie Cation. We're going to talk about your website.
Yep.
Your comedy.
Yep.
She's been on a bunch of TV shows, and I was checking. Yeah, you know, I always check it. But the website's what?
JackieCation.com.
Tell them how it's spelled.
And or you can go to dorkforest.com. D-O-R-K, Forest, F-O-R-E-S.
It's JackieCation.
Okay. JackieCation.com.
Check it out. Also, people, email me at Cooper@925kyhy.com. Tell me what guests you want to hear. Tell me what you like the show about the show. Tell me what you don't like about the show. And if it's really mean, I'll probably ball up in a fetal position and cry myself to sleep. But that's okay. But anyway, we'll be back with Jackie Cation. And thank you for listening to Cooper Talk.
Yeah, it's Cooper Talk, baby. Never miss a show again. KYHY on the go. Tune in on your smartphone. Visit www.925kyhy.com and click the smartphone link.
Fairy residence, Tooth speaking. Sorry, there's no credit fairy here. What's that? He magically raises your credit score? Yeah, there's no credit fairy. But you can improve your credit by paying bills on time and keeping your credit card balances low. Money under your pillow? Sorry, kids only.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. Brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
For 10 years now, the Indie Bible has helped thousands of independent artists gain more exposure for their music. The 10th edition features 4,200 publications that will review independent music and 3,400 radio stations that will play independent songs. It also includes hundreds of labels, distributors, and digital download sites. Over 9,000 contacts in all. Included are 50 helpful articles written by music industry experts. The Indie Bible shows musicians where they can get their music reviewed, their songs played, and their CDs sold. For details and to order online, visit www.indiebible.com. From country to rock, hip-hop, reggae, rhythm, blues, alternative, metal, and jazz, we are independent music. Independent music. The Why.
The Why.
Welcome back to Cooper. Yeah, Jackie's just jamming to this song. It's almost like Creed. Oh, take me higher. You don't do any impressions, do you?
You know what? This is I was just talking about how this is my black guy. Hey, how's it going? I don't do impressions. I'm really bad.
I do the Jerry Lewis bit, but I do bad impressions. And I sit there and I do stupid. I mean, I
could do impressions of other people's impressions.
See, that's good.
I could do John Bush, comic from Minneapolis, used to do an impression of Keanu Reeves as James Bond.
Okay.
And it was, my name is Bond, Jamie Bond. And all that is his cadence. I don't even have the...
That's funny. That's funny. I love because you know Dan Friesen?
Yeah.
Well, he came on the show and he did a Lithgow impression and then he did his Grodin. He does an amazing Grodin. But the problem is a lot of young audiences don't know who Grodin is.
He does Charles Grodin.
He does Charles Grodin, and he did John Lithgow. Yeah, it was amazing. I was sitting there going, because I know he does a lot of impressions, and never gets to do them at the club, but we're like, in this venue, because comics love that. It's like when Jay Moore started out. Jay Moore used to do Andrew McCarthy, the actor.
Oh, I could do Andrew McCarthy's upper lip, but it's a visual.
Yeah. I can do, this is my impression of from every 80s movie, James Spader's left hand. And now people you didn't see him go rent Pretty in Pink, and he's like, well, I can't do his voice. He's like,
he's just moving his hand around like a crazy person.
But that's the thing.
I love that. That's like, oh man, I love the idea of doing weird. I was thinking like James Adomian does impressions, and Troy Conrad does George Bush. I mean, there's guys who are working today who do impressions, but you're like, I'm going to choose to do an impression of a weird character actor that you may not know if you're 22 years
exactly.
old.
You know? Okay, I'll do an impression for you. Yeah? I just started doing this on stage again, and I did it years ago, but no
Charles
one.
Charles Lawton.
No. Okay, this is Marlon Brando. Okay, wait. From the movie On the Waterfront, and you have to be older to get this reference, if he was a tuna fish. Okay, Marlon Brando from On the Waterfront, if he's a tuna fish. It was you, Charlie. I could have been in a container. See, people don't get that. Like, well, people don't remember Charlie the tuna.
Charlie the tuna. You got to go. It's like I have a joke about Liberia.
Okay.
And to get that joke, all you have to know is about the founding of Liberia and be against the Monroe Doctrine. It's not that much. I'm not asking a lot of the American public. It's on the new album. It is never going to be bred.
So this is your second album?
That's my second. Technically, it's my third album, but my first album is no longer in print because I ripped them. I printed them myself. They had the sound quality of a Red Fox album. People,
I have a Red Fox cassette, and you're right. It is. I bought it like a 99-cent bin like years
ago.
You
can hear the jokes,
and you put it in. You're like, I think I heard the cocktail waitress putting glasses down in the back. That's how bad the quality is.
Yeah.
So you're.
Cake Is Not My Downfall was my first album that is not available anymore. And then I have one called Circus People, and then I have It Is Never Going to Be Bread. And Circus People is from, I think, 2007, and then...
And now it's top 10 on Amazon?
No, It's Never Going to Be Bread was 2010, and that's top 10 on Amazon.
Now how does that work? You go to this, they record the album. Because I know Film Nerds sells your stuff on the site, right?
Yeah.
I know Chris. Chris is a Philly guy. Chris is from Philly.
And it's... what I like to do is I stand-up records guy was like, I want to record your album, and I was like, I don't want you to record my, because I like the creative control.
Right.
When I did my half hour special on Comedy Central, they did a very good job with it. They did cut out one punchline, so I sound like a crazy person.
So, when you tape that, okay.
So what I want to do is I want creative control.
The Comedy Central. Yeah. How long of a set did you actually do?
I did probably 28 to 30.
And then they do
cut it down to 22.
And so they'll edit like for the commercials.
Yeah, and the
stuff?
Year I did it, which was back in the 12th century, I did it in 2003.
Okay.
It was the first year that the comics realized that they were hacking the hell out of them.
Okay.
So they everyone was doing 22:30s. Everyone was doing 22 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, because that way they couldn't...
Yeah, and so I was in later in the week, and they had just started to realize what the comics had all realized. And they said, no, you got to go back out and do another 5 minutes. You got to do at least 28.
See, that's you know, that's a good... You know
and
what show...
And that's so that they can pick and choose what jokes that they don't want to air.
You know what show really got hacked up by? Was it MTV's Half Hour Comedy? No, the one where they would not
Premium
the original
Blend.
One, but what's that?
Premium Blend.
But no, there's one where they would sit there, and it was like... Because I remember I auditioned for it at the comic strip, and yeah. Jim Florentine and Keith Robinson got it.
Yeah.
And it was basically, they do like a minute like snippet and go, whatever, and then... do something stupid, then another, and it's like you can never see what the comic's about, because
right,
you know, if
no
you do
flow.
A bit for a minute, you, I mean, that's the thing. Your act is very professional. It's funny because I did Michael's with you one time.
Oh, right.
And my friend Jeff Martyr yep. was there, and Jeff Martyr, people know, was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He did everything. He hosted TV shows. He's out of the business now, but he was like sitting there going, he really enjoyed your act, because he was out for my birthday. It was a few weeks ago, and he came out, and he's like, cool, because he was talking to two other comics, and he's like, yeah, you know, that one girl was, you know, really, really funny. He's like, what was her name? And I said, Jackie Cation.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm watching the Eagles game. Leave me alone, Jeff. Leave me alone. But no, but your act, I mean, your act flows. So
yep.
to edit it and cut it up, it probably takes out some, like me, I just bitch and rant. And I do shorter bits. But yours are stories.
If you do one-liners, then you're fine. You can cut that. That's why Letterman loves those guys. You know, he loves people who... Karen Rontowski just did Letterman.
Okay.
And she does one-liners. So why wouldn't he love that?
Because
you can edit that. Like Tim Armstrong just did it, too. And I was watching it. It looks like they might have edited out a joke or something, because there was... And they edited it with a chainsaw from the look of the... Maybe he edited it, because it was there was a bit of a smash cut on the Tim Harmston, David Letterman set.
But that's weird. It's just and the editing must suck, because it's like, you know, it's like Alan Havey was on a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And he said how he's done Letterman a lot.
Yeah.
And he'd just done Letterman a while ago, and he said... They don't edit it, but he said what happens is when you sit there and you have your material, they'll say, okay, too many guys have been doing this... bit.
One.
So do this bit. So that's fine. I see that.
Yeah.
But editing would suck. And for the Comedy Central, it's like, and you got screwed because you didn't get the 22-minute version. You had to go back and do the extra 5 minutes. And you're like, and that's much throw you off. Oh, hey, by the way, give it up for Jackie Cation. Great
no,
set.
No,
oh, go back
into
5 minutes.
I didn't have the guts to just do 22:30. I did my full 28 to 30. But the guy, like the day before, two people had to, they sent him back out.
That would suck. You already done your set.
But you're like, hey, you didn't choose to follow the rules.
Right.
You got to go do the more time. The only thing that sucked about my taping was that they use the same audience for two shows. And so by the second show, they can be tired, the crowd.
Okay.
And the first, I followed Ron White.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. That's something great. You know,
congratulations.
The guy's huge. Yeah. It's like, oh, this guy's a big ass.
Yeah. And it's just like, he's just going to drop the mic. And you're like, and now the comedy stylings of Jackie Cation. And
so
it's fine. But it's.
Well, the Showtime thing. I know Darren Carter did the Showtime thing at the El Portal.
Yeah,
I think Joey Medina may have done it. I don't know. But he said on that, they taped like 8 people in one day.
And yeah, with the same crowd?
Yeah, and he said, like, at the first...
That's,
you know,
a hostage situation.
Yeah,
at
the
that
first
point.
He said, it's great, but then he goes, he went up early, so they're like into it, but he goes, if you went up late, the crowd just would be like, oh, great. Oh, great. You know,
oh, my God. It's a hostage situation. That isn't okay.
No. So what's on your website? You have merchandise? You got the Jackie Cation merchandise?
Yeah, I got... So the Jackie Cation website, you can watch that cartoon. That's on the front page.
And it's great, people. Please do watch it, because you know what? I mean, I was sitting there... I felt like a little village idiot being in the same comedy film festival.
Come
oh, come on. Yours had such great... Look at mine. Mine could have been like on an Etch-a-Sketch. That's how bad the quality was.
Shake.
Exactly.
But, but it links to my podcast. There's a player there. You can go to iTunes and go to Dork Forest. Some of the greatest episodes are like I just had Mark Maron on, and Margaret Cho's on the live episode. I'm doing a live show on a week from Thursday over at Meltdown Comics.
Okay.
Here in Los Angeles, and that's with Margaret Cho and
Where
Garfunkel.
Where are the people the address? They might come out.
It's on Sunset near Gardner.
It's
a comic book store, and there's a theater in the background. It's called Meltdown Comics, and it's a great comic book store. And so Margaret Cho's my guest. Garfunkel and Oates are going to close with a set.
Okay.
They're comedy music, and they're great.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them on Tonight Show.
Yeah. I think they were just on the Tonight Show, and
they were on the Funny or Die, like the they did the version of We Are the World.
Oh, they're great. Quite honestly, they're two young comics who are just smart and funny and they're just great. So the website has that. It has the merch page has the Ranger of the Dork Forest T-shirt, both of my CDs, and then you can get whenever you order something from the merch page, you get a free trinket, the Ranger of the Dork Forest magnet, which right now it's a magnet, which has the same image, the Dork Forest magnet.
And you're gonna get actual trinkets. You can get
everybody gets a trinket. When I run out of stuff, like I had buttons. Okay. I had buttons for a while. Then I have the magnets. I used to have like a cling film sticker. But if I don't have anything, you get a comic book or I have
a small box of Apple Jacks.
Just something.
Oh, I got Apple Jacks in the Dork Forest. Yes,
Fiber One sample that was given to me at the mall.
Have you had anyone on your show talking about cereal?
I haven't had a cereal dork on. I was talking about how I really wanted a bee dork on, and
a
I was kind of kidding. Yeah, like a buzzing bee, honeybee.
Let me tell you something about bees.
Yeah.
This is no lie. My Aunt Edna, I think she's passed away now. She lived in upstate Pennsylvania, but when you're a kid, something an hour away seems like upstate Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And I always cracked up because we'd go there, like my parents would go on vacation and we'd go to Aunt Edna's. And first of all, to make it bad, she had a three-legged dog named Pootie. Okay, so that's just, I'm just saying. But she was a beekeeper.
Okay.
She had bees, and it was like every Christmas we'd be like, "Great, more honey. We don't need more honey." Or like, did she bring you like
honey
it's a honeycomb? It's a honeycomb, or it's like a bee wax. But she used to have like the whole outfit, and when you played in her yard, you knew not to go near there because all the bees were around.
Yeah, and you would get stung by bees.
Yeah,
but so I was fascinated. I was supposed to have this bee documentarian on at one point, and she kind of bailed. And then I just got this woman who was like, "Well, I keep bees," and I said, please come on and talk to me about bees.
See, that's cool.
I'll talk to anybody. What I'm currently looking for that seems an unattainable goal when you say it, and then somebody emails you, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and says, that's me, is someone who collects Japanese sneakers.
Someone that collects Japanese sneakers?
Did you know that there is you could buy sneakers from Japan that are like $1,000 sneakers?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they're actually made out of Japanese people. I don't know why they're thousands of dollars. Mark Maron talked on the episode that he was on, because I've been on his podcast, the WTF, and every time I'm on one of those podcasts, like when this will help because you have many listeners, and they might like the Dork Forest.
Yeah, so, and you might find someone to just sit there and go, hey, Jackie@JackieCation.com. We do. I mean, you might find
or iTunes,
or maybe someone who follows like the collects all the old. I had a roommate in college who used to get the old, back in the day, like the toothpaste that had like the smiling African American man, or the soap, like that. Oh, he would collect stuff like that.
Oh, he would collect sort of those stereotypical ads.
Yeah, and just because he thought it was cracked up,
right?
Like, you know, it's different.
Well, that guy's working. Let's collect it.
Exactly.
And I have I've got tomorrow. I'm going to tape an episode with a guy who owns the Lawgiver from the Planet of the Apes movie. Do you remember the original Planet of the Apes movie? There was the picture of the ape. The ape with the tablet.
Okay.
Holy criminy! The guy owns that prop.
He owns it?
Yeah.
That's...
He got it because the provenance on this, as far as I know, goes the director of the movie had it, the Lawgiver. He gave it as a gift to Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
I don't know what to do with that information, but at his estate sale, this guy bought it.
Isn't that cool when you get weird stuff? It's like there's a place in
Dana Gould bought Roddy Dangerfield's house. We talked about that on an episode of the Dark Horse.
He bought Roddy Dangerfield's house?
Not Rodney Dangerfield. Roddy McDowell's house.
Really?
Yeah. He lives in Roddy McDowell's house.
Well, that's like I heard Ryan Stiles.
Yeah.
He lives in Liberace's old house. I read that.
Sweet.
I read an article with him. I read an interview
with
him.
He's from Milwaukee.
Is he? And he lives in, like, has a weird looking pool. It's shaped like a penis. It's Liberace. No,
it's shaped like a piano.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine, oh my God.
Wait,
I just fall out of Johnny Mathis's hot tub. But, now, to see that, it's funny because people get weird stuff. Like, there's a place in Toluca Lake called Papoose. It's this little restaurant. It's a hot dog place. Open for
closed.
Closed. Well, my one friend, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to get him in trouble, but his girlfriend used to go there all the time. Her father worked in the movie sets. And the last day it was open, he's like, I'm going to do something special for my girlfriend. He went in, and when no one's looking, he stole two of the chairs. And that's like, cool. He got the two chairs the back of Papoose. And then his girlfriend says, what are you doing? He's like, shh. And the manager's like, what are you doing? And he goes, the dishwashers don't give a crap because they're losing their job. They're just looking at him going,
wow. why are you stealing some of the furniture from Papoose?
But he said because he thought it, and his girlfriend loved it. Because she, from when she was like a little kid, she always went there with her dad.
Yeah.
So that's just cool.
I love Papoose Hot Dog Show. And Maria, who was the waitress there for many, like, because I've been going there for 11 years.
Do you live in the Valley?
I live in the Valley. Okay. And I used my old day job, the day job I had until 2003 when I had the half hour special. And I thought, well, I can quit my day job.
Right.
And I've been scrambling ever since. Anyway, but.
You have the best selling album. You have the top 10 album.
It's fine. It's fine
there
now.
You go.
I got the podcast.
Exactly.
And donation button. But
does that work? Do people donate?
They do donate.
Because I used to say,
I need equipment.
I'm going to try this, okay? I tried it a long time ago. People, thank you for reminding us. I don't do this. But, you know, I'm.
You got a donation button?
No, I don't. I'm building my website in January. But if you send Chad Stockwell, that's my character in a book I wrote, C-H-A-D Stockwell, at PayPal.com, send me some cash. Send donate. That could be your donation. I don't have a donate button, but you can send stuff to Chad Stockwell at PayPal.com.
I mean, I made a buck.
That's it. I'm a promoter, but my friend Amy in Chicago sent me a buck, and she's like, "Well," so I go, "At least," but no one ever listens to me.
You know, I go to, like, you know, when you're invited as an adult to birthday parties, and you don't know the person very well.
Right.
I always give them a buck.
A book?
A dollar.
Buck,
I always
cool.
hand him a dollar and I go, get yourself something pretty. Which is because I never know what to, you know.
I don't know.
I'm
going to
buy him
stuff.
A candle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm going to go to Portrait of a Bookstore in the back of Aroma.
Exactly.
And spend $30 on something.
Exactly. And they're probably going to go.
Here's what I love, though. We're in this studio, this beautiful studio, and you have these awesome, these arms, these mic holders.
And they annoy me. Sometimes they just drop.
Like, oh, do you think the tension doesn't respond?
I don't know, but like, there's been times when I'm talking, and I remember one time my chair started dropping and the mic dropped, and I was like, by the time of the show, I was like this. I was trying to talk. But no, this is a cool little studio. I like
this. This is a very sweet little studio.
Fun.
But I know that, like, Marin has his garage is set up as his studio.
Right. I love his website. Like, the picture he has in the garage, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. And but he has these sort of more bionic Terminator-looking kind of bendy, because I have just short, tiny mic stands. That you can use. But they work, but people donated enough money. Like, I needed to get started, because I have almost 300 episodes of my podcast, right?
Okay.
The first 213 of them, speaking of your Red Fox album, they're essentially, they're Blog Talk Radio recorded conference calls.
Okay.
And so the quality is not great.
See, that's what I like about this. The quality here is good.
Yeah.
Because it's also, it's because, like, someone said, did you
my call quality's us? Fine
said,
now.
Said, yeah, but it's like, you need quality because you're representing yourself. If it sounds like I said something like, hey, we're talking,
yeah.
You know,
so
it doesn't sound right.
So since the beginning of the year, I was like, I will do it. I will do pre-recorded. I will buy equipment. You have to donate. Here is a donation button. And people sent me like $800 so that I could buy all the, like, the board and the cords and the mics.
So what do you need to do a podcast? I mean, like, okay, a professional level podcast.
Yeah.
What do you need? You need,
if people want a podcast, here's what I would recommend. Because some people do, they have like a Mac iBook or something, right?
Okay.
Like, they have like their computer, and they run GarageBand, which is a free software, and you just USB cord something from a mixing board into it, and you can record it that way. So if you already own that stuff, then all you need is the wires and the mixing board and the mics and the mic stands.
Okay.
If you don't have a Mac, and I don't, I bought something called a Zoom H4N, which was the money item. And I didn't buy it. Maria Bamford gave it to me because she was going to do a podcast and then bailed. But it's $335.
And what is it?
It is a digital recorder. And
okay.
It is the industry standard now. Like, that's what people are recording movies on.
Okay.
Like, audio guys, I did an independent film, and the audio guy, all he had was a boom, and then clipped to his belt was one of these H4Ns.
Really?
Yeah, the Zoom H4N. And it is, I have a 32 gig card in it, so I can tape, essentially an hour of audio is a gig. So I can take 32 episodes of The Dork Forest on it before I dump it on my computer and edit it. And
okay.
I edit in Audacity, which is another free.
Someone just told me about Audacity. You can plug in a mic and you can do shows off of that, too.
You can do that as well if you have a laptop that plugs into Audacity, which is like GarageBand for PC. And but I don't know how to do that. So then I already have because I have the handheld, because I have this H4N, I can also do things like Dork Expeditions, where I go to like a coffee. I went to a coffee exporter, and he talked about coffee forever, and it was awesome. I did another one where I went to a comic book publisher, Image Comics,
okay.
in in San Francisco. I'm doing one. I'm going to a model train place in Ann Arbor.
Oh, no, there's one in Burbank.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Okay, but I did a couple of dork origins, because Maria Bamford, if you don't know Maria Bamford, she's the best working comic today. Anyway, but
she was just a Flappers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she didn't want to be on the podcast. She's been on too many podcasts. She's like, I can't tell the story of how I started stand-up comedy.
Right. I talked to her agents, and they said the same thing. She's not doing any podcasts or internet radio.
But we're, very close friends, and she said, I'll be on if I can interview you. And then she didn't want to come to the house.
Oh.
So we met at Hugo's over in Studio City and had lunch, and she interviewed me. She's like, here's a couple of dorkdoms that you never talk about, which is my love of chicken and my occasional reading of a romance novel. So we talked about that for an hour, and it was hilarious.
Dude, that's cool, because I'm thinking of doing a podcast besides this called Cocktails with Cooper, where we just hang out and we have like three or four comics.
In your copious amounts of free time? What the hell?
What's
really?
That?
And you must be, you do these all the time, man.
And I do this. I record, this is my week. And I do a law show on with an entertainment lawyer. We record on Mondays. It's called Living in the Law.
Yeah.
And then, but then it's, I think at Cocktails with Cooper, just a few comics hanging out, having some drinks, just talking.
You know?
It's because it's
sort of green room-y kind of stuff.
Comics. They could be an actor. They could be like my neighbor. Just people, just something different.
I've had actors on, and sometimes when some people are like an acting dork, like I had this guy, John Colella, on, and Joe Wilson, they have a web series called Vampire Mob.
Okay.
And it's essentially like if Twilight met the Sopranos.
All right.
It's hilarious.
That was in the film festival.
Oh, that was in the film festival with us, right?
The same night as us, yeah.
He was one of the judges, I think.
You know who I'm trying to get? And he did my friend Joe Matarese's show, but he Joe's podcast, and Joe's like, oh man, he goes, I didn't ask the right question. He goes, Cooper, you should get this guy. And he said he'll come on when he has something to promote. But I'm an 80s geek.
Yeah.
And Robert Romanus, who played Damone at Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I sent him an email. I said, you did my friend Joe Matarese's podcast. Can you come on mine?
Yeah.
And he's like, when I have something to promote, I'm like, but no one ever promotes anything. People just come on and talk, hence the word Cooper Talk.
Right. How about you just promote your Twitter feed? How about that?
It's like, that's cool, because he's 80s. And I was thinking of getting, I've seen a lot of articles on that, and he was doing a play in North Hollywood. Jonathan Lipnicki, the kid who played the little kid in Jerry Maguire.
Okay.
And now he's like all buff and grown up.
Joe Piscopo out.
Yeah, Joe Piscopo.
What about Oliver? Would you want Oliver from the Brady Bunch?
I look like Oliver when I was a kid. I had the same haircut. I look like a mixture of him and
Robbie
from The Christmas Story.
Robbie Rist. I know.
Yeah, you know Robbie Rist?
Yeah, I know Robbie Rist.
Because I want to do like an 80s. I want to do like an old school
thing. He's in punk bands now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I know what's his name? Billy Mummy. He goes up to the Castaways. Billy Mummy from Lost in Space. You see him at the Castaways for their Sunday brunch.
Nice.
Brunch. But yeah, it's just weird to guess. So yeah. So you know, this is always, I hate when this happens. We have like 4 minutes left. And it's always hard to wrap your show up. Like your podcast can go on forever.
Yeah.
But this is like, okay, we have to, because then it cuts off. So let's give a quick sum up of what we learned today, people.
What we learned
is you go to JackieCation.com.
Right.
Right.
And then you get to see some comedy. You can buy some nonsense. You can listen to a podcast.
And you people definitely go there just to watch this animation. It'll blow you away. I'm not lying. The animation, it's a great job.
He did an amazing job.
And it's a funny joke. You're a big, do you have pets?
We have an iguana. We have a 3.5-foot-long iguana named Tiberius Dracus, named after the Roman general. Not Kirk's middle name.
My cats died 2 years ago, so I haven't got any new cats.
Oh,
I had
nine. Did they both die?
I had nine.
In a freak accident?
No, actually.
What happened?
No, actually, they died like 3 months apart. One was...
You had nine cats?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, Jesus, I had two.
Okay. I got them in a divorce.
Oh, okay.
And one was... like 15, the other was 12, and they just die. Like, maybe I fed them something wrong. Maybe I changed the food and they die. I'm a murderer. I'm a cat murderer.
Cat murderer.
Yeah, now PETA is going to hate this show. I'm joking. And so Jackie Cation, and now the album, they go to Amazon and they can buy it.
It is never going to be bread.
Isn't it awful I still call them albums?
I think I call them albums. When I have people over to the house, I always say, we tape at this point. No, we don't. We record.
Right. I love cassettes. I want to find an old Walkman. I want to start making mixtapes.
Right.
And walking around down with my cassettes. I'm going to get some Bananarama and then Crowded House and maybe some Split Ends and Flock of Seagulls and walk with my damn Walkman with Thing and the Thing and the big, the ugly headphones. And those ugly headphones are coming back. Like the big headphones are coming back.
Oh, yeah. Those are back.
And I'm going to get some big white sweat socks and have roller skates. I'm going to skate through Burbank with my Walkman and my 80s music, but I can't skate, so I'll fall over a lot. And that won't be good.
I want to go camping, but I don't know how to camp. So what I want to do is I want to go out and die of exposure. Oh, well.
Okay. This is... Okay.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. I still have 2 minutes, so you didn't get off that easy. See, it's always like a rocky road. I'm not like one of those professionals like, okay, well...
And you timed it exactly correctly down to the second.
Exactly.
How it all ends.
The feed in for this commercial is... Da-da-da. And you're like, dude, how did you do that? Hey, people, for me, I'm just fooling around tonight, Wednesday, at the Buchanan Arms. It's an open mic at 10 o'clock. I'm going to do a little set, working some new shit. Come out and check it out.
I have a storytelling thing at the Zephyr on Thursday.
What's that?
I have a storytelling show at the Zephyr on
Thursday.
No, where's
the Zephyr?
The Zephyr's on Melrose in Hollywood at Zephyr Theater.
Okay.
And then Friday I'm at the Fake Gallery over in Koreatown.
Okay.
And then then next week I do the live podcast over at the Meltdown.
Okay.
And I think I'm up in Sunnyvale. Do you have people up in the Bay Area?
I got emails from someone from Nebraska. It's internet radio, so people. I mean, a lot of people.
So people are everywhere.
Yeah.
So go to
everywhere.
You know, my schedule's there, and I do stand up comedy all over the country.
You do.
So.
Now, aren't you headlining Flappers on Thanksgiving or something?
I'm headlining Sunnyvale on Thanksgiving. I'm headlining Flappers in December.
Okay, I know it was sometime.
Yeah.
You know, Jackie, please go see her because she's very funny. And she's been around, and she's a great act, and she has a great podcast. And do you sell merch at the shows?
I do.
What do? You sell the T-shirts?
I do. I got the T-shirts and both CDs, and you can get all three of them for $60.
Really?
Is that the way that I have?
What do you sell a shirt for?
$20.
That's a good price.
Because they're made in America.
Right.
It's I'm willing to wear clothing made by toddlers. I'm unwilling to sell clothing made by toddlers. It turns out, and it's a 4-color design. So
that's
go take
good.
A look at it.
Go people buy that. Go to the show. Go see her. And remember, starting in January, I'll be hosting Cooper's Angels. Again on one Thursday, and then the other Thursday it will be the United Colors of Comedy. I'll be headlining them, and that's all through Thursday nights in the Yoo-Hoo Room all through January and February. Anyway, thank you, Jackie, for coming on so much.
Thank you.
And thank you. I'm Steve Cooper. Remember, I'm only as hip as my guests. Do me a favor. Email me at cooper925kyhy.com. Tell me the acts you want to see. Give me some encouragement because I get very insecure and I go home and cry and I'll eat Fruit Loops and fall asleep. Anyway, don't drink and drive this weekend. And if you do, you're in trouble. Anyway, thanks again, guys. Keep listening and thank you.